Turn with me, if you will, to the place where this week's Torah portion begins. It is the book Bereshit, or Genesis, chapter 44, and verse 17. And I will introduce it, of course, with a little bit. What, remember, has happened is that the brothers have been caught. They were set up, literally, and the silver chalice was put in Benjamin's sack. They headed out. They got caught. They were brought by Joseph's servant, and he says, you know, hey, don't you know I can divine? What have you done? And Judah says, what shall we say to my Lord? How can we possibly clear ourselves? Hey, we're guilty. We know it. And we're gonna be your bondmen. He and those also in whose hand the cup was found. Now, at this point, Joseph springs the rest of the plan, and he says, far be it from me, I would do that. The only one I want to keep is the one in whose hand the goblet was found. The rest of you, you can go in peace back to your father. All right, so here begins verse 18. This is one of those wonderful places in Scripture. And the Hebrew, it says, Va'yigash, and came near. So Va'yigash, and came near Judah, unto what the man he doesn't know is his brother, and he says, O my Lord, let your servant, I pray you, speak a word in my Lord's ears. And by the way, this is the place where I refer to the final step in the process. Judah mans up. He honors his word, and he has demonstrated when this is finished that he is the kind of a man who is worthy of being the progenitor of a line of kings. So let my Lord, let your servant, I pray you, speak a word in my Lord's ears. Don't let your anger burn against your servant, for you are literally as Pharaoh. My Lord, if you recall, has asked his servant, saying, do you have a father or a brother? And we told you, yep, we have a father, an old man, a child of his old age, little one. His brother is dead. He alone is left of his mother. And, of course, we know who we're talking about. This is Raquel. His father loves him. And you did say to your servants, bring him down to me that I might set my eyes upon him. And we said unto my Lord, no, the lad can't leave his father, because if he should leave his father would die. And you said unto your servants, unless your younger brother comes down with you, you shall not see my face again. So it came to pass, when we came up to your servant, my father, we told him the words of my Lord. And our father said, after a little while, he's abbreviating the story here, go again, buy us a little food. And we said, now remember, we can't go down if our youngest brother doesn't go with us. Because if we go down, we will not see the man's face, except our youngest brother be with us. And your servant, my father, said unto us, you know that my wife bore me two sons. And the one went out for me, and I said, surely he is torn in pieces, and I have not seen him since. Now we know, of course, so does Joseph, that is a reference to him. So if you take this one away from me too, and any harm befalls him, you will bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. So therefore, when I come back to your servant, my father, and the lad is not with us, seeing that his soul is bound up with the lad's soul. Now that's an interesting phrase. I'll note that the idea of souls being bound is, if you recall, David and Jonathan from 1 Samuel chapter 18. That's a similar kind of thing. So he's saying, in very similar wording, his soul is bound up with the lad's soul. It'll come to pass when he sees that the lad is not with us, he'll just plain die. And your servants will bring down the gray hairs of our father with sorrow to the grave. So, here is where he mans up. He says, now, your servant, that would be him, the man speaking, became surety for the lad unto my father, saying, if I do not bring him back unto you, then shall I bear the blame for my father forever. So therefore, I pray, let your servant abide with you instead of the lad as a bondman to my Lord, and let the lad go up with his brethren. Now what he's saying is, I will take his place. You keep me, I'll be your bondsman, and let Benjamin go. For how shall I go up to my father if the lad's not with me, lest I look upon the evil that shall come on my father? So he is doing exactly what he said he would do. He is putting himself in Benjamin's place. And at this point, it's too much for Joseph. He could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried out, let every man go out from here. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brother. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians heard, and the whole house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brothers, this is the one that I want to shout it out, because he does, Ani Yosef, does my father yet live? And his brethren couldn't answer him because they were just plain, they were affrighted at his presence. I suspect they were shocked into wordlessness. Then Joseph came near his brothers, and he said, "Come near me, I pray you." And they did. They came near, and he said, "Ani, Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me down here, for Elohim did send me before you to preserve life." Now, the sages have an interesting comment on this. I think it's kind of wonderful. They say, this is the first recorded moment in history, in all of human history, when one human being forgives another. I think that's amazing. And then he goes on and tells the rest of the story. For these 2 years, the famine has been in the land. But there are yet 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to give you a remnant on the earth and to save you alive for a great deliverance. So it was not you that sent me down here. He notes it was in fact Elohim. And he has made me like a father to Pharaoh, and lord over all of his house, and ruler over all the land of Egypt. So hasten, y'all, go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come on down here and do not tarry. And you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near unto me, you and your children and your children's children, your flocks, your herds, everything that you have. And there will I sustain you, because there are still 5 more years of famine to go, lest you come to poverty, you and your household and all that you have. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth, in fact, that is now speaking to you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, of all that you've seen, and you shall hasten and bring my father back down here. And they fell upon the neck of his brother Benjamin, and he wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. And then he kissed all of his brothers, and he wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. And the report thereof was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, hey, Joseph's brothers are come. And it pleased Pharaoh well, and all of his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brothers, this do, laden up your beast, go, get yourself back to the land of Canaan, and then get your father and your households, come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt. You shall eat the fat of the land. Now, you are commanded, this do, take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father, come on down. Also, regard not your stuff, because all the good things of the land of Egypt are yours. The sons of Israel did so. Joseph gave them wagons, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and he gave them provision for the trip. To all of them, he gave each man changes of clothing. But to Benjamin, he gave 300 shekels of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father, he sent in like manner 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with corn and bread and victual for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, see that you don't fall out along the way. So they went up out of Egypt, they came to the land of Canaan, to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive. He is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart fainted, because he couldn't believe it. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And this is really interesting. There's a lot of commentary on this, and it sounds like there is some kind of a hidden code. And I suspect that what Joseph did was give it some thought and came up with some way of telling his father via the things that he sent that it really is him. So when Yaakov saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Yaakov, their father, revived. And now, notice, it's no longer Yaakov that's speaking, it's Israel. And Israel says, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. So now it says, Israel took his journey with all that he had. He came to Beersheba. He offered sacrifices unto the Elohim, his father Isaac. And Elohim spoke unto Israel in the visions of the night, and he said, right, here we go, Yaakov, Yaakov, we know the answer. Hineni, here I am. And he said, Ani Elohim, the Elohim of your father, do not fear to go down into Mitzrayim, for I will there make of you a great nation. I will go down with you into Egypt, and I will surely bring you up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon your eyes. So when the time comes, you'll die there, and it will be your son who will close your eyes. So Joseph rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Yaakov their father, and their little ones and their wives, and the wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him. They took all their cattle and their goods which they had gotten in the land of Canaan, and they came unto Egypt, Yaakov and all his seed with him. his sons and his sons' sons with him, his daughters, his sons' daughters, and all his seed he brought with him into Egypt. And these are the names of the Bnei Israel who came down into Mitzrayim: Yaakov and his sons, Reuben, his firstborn, and the sons of Reuben, Hanak and Palu and Hezron and Carmi, the sons of Simeon, Jemuel, Yamin, and Ohad, and Yakin, and Zohar, and Shaul, the son of a Canaanitish woman, and the sons of Levi, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari, the sons of Judah, and Onan, and Shelah, and Perez, and Zerah. But of course, we remember and Onan died in the land of Canaan. The sons of Perez were Hezron and Hamul. Sons of Issachar, Tola, Puva, Yob, and Shimron. Sons of Zebulun, Sered, Elon, and Yalil. These are the sons of Leah, whom she bore unto Yaakov in Padan Aram, and his daughter Dinah. All the souls and the sons of his daughters were 33. Now, the sons of Gad, Ziphion, Haggai, Shuni, and Ezbon, Eri, Arodi, and Areli. The sons of Asher, Imnah, Ishva, Ishvi, and Beriah, and Sarah, their sister. And the sons of Beriah, Heber, and Malkiel. These are the sons of Zilpah, whom Laban gave to Leah his daughter, and she bore unto Yaakov even 16 souls. The sons of Rachel, Yaakov's wife, Joseph and Benjamin. And unto Joseph, as we know, in the land of Egypt were born Manasseh and Ephraim, whom Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore unto him. And the sons of Benjamin. So Benjamin's not as young as you might think. He's got quite a few sons here. Bela and Becher, Ashbel, Gera, and Naaman, Ehi, Rosh, Mupim, and Hupim, and Ard. These are all the sons of Rachel who were born to Yaakov. All the souls were 14. The sons of Dan, Hushim. And the sons of Naphtali, Yazreel and Guni, Yezer and Shillem. These are the sons of Bilhah, who Laban gave unto Rachel his daughter, and these she bore unto Yaakov. All these souls were 7. All the souls belonging to Yaakov that came into Mitzrayim, that came out of his loins, besides Yaakov's sons, wives, all of them were 66. And the sons of Joseph, who were born to him in Egypt, 2 souls, and all the souls of Jacob that came into Egypt, total 70. And he sent Judah before him to Joseph to show the way before him into Goshen, and they came into the land of Goshen. Joseph made ready his chariot, and he went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and he presented himself unto him, and he fell on his neck, and he wept on his neck for a good long while. And Israel says to Joseph, "Now let me die, since I have seen your face, and indeed you are yet alive." Joseph said to his brothers and unto his father's house, "I'll go up, tell Pharaoh, and I'll say to him, 'My brethren, my father's house, who were in the land of Canaan, have come unto me. And the men are shepherds, for they've been keepers of cattle. They have bought their flocks, their herds, all that they have. And it'll come to pass,'" and he's warning them here, and it doesn't sound like they're going to listen very well, "'when Pharaoh calls you and says, "What's your occupation?" Here's what you should say: 'Your servants have been keepers of cattle from our youth even till now, both we and our fathers, that we may dwell in the land of Goshen, because every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians.'" Then Joseph went in, and he told Pharaoh, and he said, "My father and my brethren, and their flocks and their herds, all that they have come up out of the land of Canaan, and behold, there they are in the land of Goshen. From among his brethren he took 5 men, and he presented them unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to his brothers, "What is your occupation?" And they said to him, "Your servants are shepherds, both we and our fathers." And they said to Pharaoh, "To sojourn in the land we've come, for there's no pasture for your servants' flocks. Famine is really sore in the land of Canaan. Now, therefore, we pray you, let your servants dwell in the land of Goshen." Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, and he said, "Your father and your brethren are come unto you. The land of Egypt is before you, the best of the land. Make your father and your brethren dwell there. In the land of Goshen, let them dwell. And if you know any able men among them, well, then make them rulers over my cattle." So Joseph brought in Yaakov his father, and he set him before Pharaoh, and Yaakov blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh then says to Yaakov, "How many are the days of the years of your life?" And this is a fabulous and interesting reply. Yaakov says to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my sojournings are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their sojournings." And Yaakov blessed Pharaoh and went out from the presence of Pharaoh. Then Yosef placed his father and his brethren, and he gave them a possession in the land of Egypt, the best of the land, in the land of Ramses, as Pharaoh had commanded. And Joseph sustained his father and his brothers, and all his father's household with bread, according to the want of their little ones. But there was no bread in all of the land of Mitzrayim. For the famine was very sore, so that the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim, and the land of Canaan languished by reason of the famine. And then Joseph gathered up all the silver. Now notice, the silver is the means of exchange. So they've got silver. He is basically going to have them pay for the food they're going to buy from him. And as you might suspect, pretty soon they've spent it all. So he gathered up all the money that was found in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan for the corn which they bought. And Joseph brought the money into Pharaoh's house, the silver. So when all the silver was all spent in the land of Egypt and in the land of Canaan, all the Egyptians came to Joseph and they said, "Hey, give us bread, because why should we die in your presence? Because we don't have any more silver. We're just plain tapped out." So Joseph said, "Give me your cattle, and I'll give you bread for your cattle, if you don't have any more silver." And they brought their cattle unto Joseph, and he gave them bread in exchange for the horses, and for the flocks, and for the herds, and for the asses. And he fed them with bread in exchange for all their cattle that year. And when that year was ended, they came into the second year, and they said to him, "We won't hide from you, my lord, that we are out of silver. That's all gone. Our herds of cattle, you got all of those too. There's not anything left in the sight of my lord but our own bodies and our lands. So why should we die before your eyes, both we and our land? Buy us and our land for bread, and we and our land will be bondmen unto Pharaoh." In other words, we will be serfs upon the land. This is essentially feudalism. "You give us seed, that we may live and not die, and that the land be not desolate." So Joseph bought all of the land of Egypt for Pharaoh. For the Egyptians sold every man his field, because the famine was sore upon them, and the land became all Pharaoh's. Now as for the people, he removed them city by city from one end of the border of Egypt to the other. Only the land of the priests he didn't buy, because the priests had a portion from Pharaoh, and they ate the portion which Pharaoh gave them, so they didn't have to sell their land. Then Joseph says to the people, "Behold, I have bought you this day and your land for Pharaoh. Here is seed for you, and you shall sow the land." So the deal is, they're going to farm the land which was theirs. He will give them a percentage of the crop. He's going to give them quite a bit, as it turns out. "It'll come to pass, at the end gatherings, you shall give a fifth part unto Pharaoh." So if you look at it, you say, hey, this is pretty generous. In feudal serfdom, in, for example, Britain and other places, it was significantly higher fealty that was owed to the sovereign than this. And of course, you look at the IRS in the U.S., they take a heck of a lot more than 20% of the people that pay taxes as well. So one-fifth, 20%, isn't that bad. So you give a fifth to Pharaoh, four parts shall be yours. The seed for the field and for your food and for those of your households and for food for your little ones. And they said, "You've saved our lives. Let us find favor in the sight of my lord, and we will be Pharaoh's bondsmen." So Joseph made it a statute concerning the land of Egypt to this day, that Pharaoh should have the fifth part. Only the land of the priests alone did not become Pharaoh's. And we're almost at the end of the portion here, and then it says this, "And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the land of Goshen. And they got themselves possessions therein, and they were fruitful, and they multiplied exceedingly." So the Torah portion here ends with the cliffhangers basically having been resolved. Brothers have done the right thing. Joseph has revealed himself to them. They brought everything back, and now they're in the land of Goshen, and they're going to multiply exceedingly.